Hi, I'm Graz from Graz Makes and the Netflix show Making Fun, and you're listening to the Builder Sessions podcast.
Welcome to the Builder Sessions, a podcast where we chat with your favorite builders.
We get to know them, their stories, and hopefully inspire you to get off the couch and build something cool. I'm Hoff.
And I'm Rosie. And on this episode, we chat with Graz from Graz Makes and Netflix's Making Fun. We talk about the beauty of the maker community, his experience on the Netflix show, and how curiosity and surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals can set you up for success.
Please enjoy our interview with Graz.
Graz, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate you taking your time. And
of course.
For our listeners who don't know exactly who you are, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I go by the name Graz on all social medias, including Friendster and MySpace and all those. No. I just go by Graz. I like to make stuff online from YouTube to Instagram. And my specialty is knife making. So I've been doing a lot of chef knives. I've really kind of focused on chef knives.
Sure.
And started to kind of expand and do paring knives now. But basically any kind of material I can get my hands on, I like to kind of experiment, fail, learn, and repeat, and hopefully make things better the next time. But that's me in a nutshell.
Now, do you do this full time, or do you have a full time job and do this on the side?
Side full time, yeah. a full time hustle. I do this kind of. It's a lot of kind of gray areas where it will overlap. But for my full time job, I'm a video producer for a shoe company that we own 20 different brands. And a lot of people, if you know kind of my story, one of the brands is Carolina Boots. And I got kind of involved with that and the maker community. And I was really kind of pitching Carolina years ago that this is kind of this big community of these amazing people who create these amazing things. Let's start kind of sponsoring some of these makers. And it just so happened that my literal downstairs neighbor was Paul Jackman, and he was kind of the first kind of test go as far as a sponsorship goes. And I think his first video, I think it got like over a million views. And after that, it was just kind of do whatever you want. Yeah. Well, who else do you have? And so I was just kind of giving him name after name. And so it's full-time job doing that. And then side hustle, quote unquote, as soon as I clock out of work, I clock into my shop and just start kind of doing my thing there. Like learning, I just got a CNC. I'm kind of learning all that software and all that stuff. So it's just, I just don't have enough hours in the day to learn all this stuff.
So wood, metal, like pretty much any kind of medium, any material?
Yeah. Epoxy. I used to work for an epoxy company. Really it's kind of, it's one of those things. It really is tough to kind of like focus on like a day to be like, all right, I want to figure out how to use this expanding foam or this silicone or this epoxy. And then I want to pour this epoxy and make a CNC sign. And then it's like, I got to figure out that software, but it's just always learning, always keeping your brain kind of a step ahead of like, what do I have to do next? What do I have to do next? And it's all kind of a fun journey and adventure.
So how'd you get into this stuff? Like you mentioned, if you know my story,
I don't know, like for people who know this story, fast forward about 5 or 6 minutes, but about 2013, my wife and I moved into this apartment as we're having an interview, the upstairs apartment. And when we did that, the landlord was like, oh, there's a guy downstairs who has like a YouTube channel and he does woodworking, and you should meet him. He's a really nice guy. And at that point I was like, oh, what is he at? Like 100 subscribers. And it ended up being Paul Jackman, and he had like 10,000 at the time. And I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty impressive. And at the exact same time, I was really getting into knife making. And this is like 2013, 2012. And I was subscribed to one channel on YouTube, and that was Make Magazine, because before that I was really big into computers because I didn't really have like a lot of room to actually build big stuff. So I do a lot of like fun, like I make a Wi-Fi plug and stuff like that out of Raspberry Pis.
Oh,
but
sweet.
With Make Magazine, they highlight makers from all sorts, from like woodworkers, metalworkers, software engineers, 3D printers, all that stuff. And at the exact same time, a video comes out, and it was just called Big Ass Kitchen Knife Duresta. And I was like, oh, what's this? So I watch it. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. This guy makes a kitchen knife. And then I scroll down, and the first comment is Jackman. And I'm like, wait, hold on. Of all the videos on YouTube, how the hell do you know this guy? Like, what? There's a glitch in the matrix. So he explains to me that this guy, Duresta, can make a bunch of stuff, and you should check out more of his videos. And once I did that, it was just down the rabbit hole I went. And at the time, like, my wife would watch me watch all these videos, and she was like, oh, you're watching your boyfriend again? And then she started watching them, and she was like, wow, I totally get it. These videos are incredible. This guy can make anything. He's like the real life MacGyver. And so after that, I don't know how much further you want me to kind of connect everyone, but I can
connect away. Yeah.
So after that, I was like, for my work, I would go to New York City a lot. And at that time, Jimmy had his shop in Manhattan in the Lower East Side on Clinton Avenue, I believe. And as just a fan, I tweeted him one day when I was in New York being like, hi, can I come and visit? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. Just being Jimmy, being like the super nicest guy in the world. And so he was like, yeah, come on down. So I took a cab. Like, I was probably 10, 15 blocks away, took a cab, pops his head up from like his little like subterranean shop. And he was like, Graz. And I'm like, Jimmy. He's like, come on down. And so him being super nice and welcoming, just welcomed me into his shop, showed me a bunch of like his makes at the time. Like, he had the aluminum axe handle that he did, some toolbox he was working on. And we just kind of talked for like an hour and a half. And I was like, all right, I got a train to catch. I'll be back. Don't worry. And he was like, yeah, anytime you want to come back, just swing on by. And I'm like, oh, sweet. And like in the back of my head, I was just like, oh my God, the Duresta guy from YouTube. This is the coolest thing.
I'm famous now. Yeah.
Well, I was like, wow. Hopefully one day I could be on a TV show with this guy.
I didn't get a picture for the gram.
And then like a couple years go by, and then he has the Making It podcast, and they were trying to figure out a place to hold this live 100th episode event. And the only place that they could find was this place, Converse Shoes has this office in Boston that they were like, yeah, do it here. And so I was like, oh, cool. I'll go there. I'll meet some my online maker friends. It'll be a cool hangout. And I used to live in Malden. So I brought one of my buddies that I used to live with who lived in Malden. And so we go there. Jimmy sees me. He like, oh, hey, what's going on? Oh, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, he remembers me. That's cool. And then does the podcast. After the podcast, we're kind of like, we're at this bar, and Jimmy comes up to me and he's like, Graz, you make like knives and you're pretty close by. You're in like Salem or somewhere close by. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, meet this guy named Derek. I just met him, and he wants to make a knife with his son. And I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Because you let me in your shop, I'll let him in my shop. Like, it's just kind of doing a pay it forward type of deal. And so Derek and I start talking. We hit it off like kind of like instant friends. And for some reason, I forget why, he was just there by himself and he didn't have a car. I don't know how he got there. But I was like, oh, I can give you a lift home if you want. I drove my friend from Malden. So he was like, yeah, sure. And so as we're driving back, he's like, take a left, take a right at down Main Street. There you go. And it turns out I used to live a block away from Derek before I even knew him with my buddy. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, I always joke. I was like, you had to have called the police on some of our parties. And he's like, yeah, probably did. And so like that happened. And then, yeah. And then like Pat, I remember meeting Pat here too. Like, Pat was friends with Jackman, and I met Pat before I even knew who he was. I was like, oh, nice to meet you. Didn't think anything of it. And then fast forward 5, 7, 8 years, all of a sudden we're kind of all together. But like, yeah, we were all friends before hand and all that stuff. Sorry, I just kind of completely went off.
And no, it's all good.
Kept talking.
So where yeah, have those relationships taken you?
Oh, Netflix. like that. I mean, so it.
All right. To quickly. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you. Good night. Don't forget to watch. Yeah. To quickly just get there. Sure. Like, Jackman. Fast forward like 4 or 5 years. Jackman passes 100,000 subscribers, and when that happens, YouTube lets you shoot at the New York or LA studio. And so,
oh really? Oh, cool.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. And then because Carolina was so like, oh, Jackman, you're the golden boy, do whatever you want. So I tell them like, oh, he asked me and Pat to help him write this comedy sketch to celebrate his 100,000th subscriber in New York. And they were like, okay, yeah, we'll pay for it. Just go do your thing. Just record it. We'll get video content out of it. I was like, okay. And so once we did that, we asked Jimmy because it was in New York, and Jimmy was like, yeah, I'll be there. And then the day happens, Jimmy gets there and he's hanging with Derek. Just, I think it was random. I think he was just like, Derek was just hanging with Jimmy for a weekend. So both of them show up, we shoot the video. And then at the end of it, Jackman's known for building big things. And he built an Adirondack chair. And so without even thinking, we're like, oh, let's just do a group photo in the big chair, just to, you know, have a fun photo to remember the video by. And so we do that. Don't even think anything of it. Jackman posts it to Reddit. And then like a week later, he gets a random email from a video producer in LA being like, hey, I just completely randomly stumbled upon this picture. What do you guys do? And like, who are you? He explains like, oh, we're all makers on YouTube. Jimmy has a show on NBC called Making It. And she was like, say no more. Would you like to develop a TV show? And we were like, yeah, okay, that's cool. And then it just kind of snowballed from there.
That's amazing. Like the power of connections. That's what I'm hearing here, right? Like
it's all about connections. It's all about this amazing community. It truly is. It's an amazing community. It makes the internet tolerable on social media. Like everything else,
the overwhelming absence of ego too, right? Cause you could have been like, I know what I'm doing. I don't need your freaking whatever. I got my own thing.
I mean, Jimmy could have just been like, nah, I'm good. What, like, who are you? Because
it's Jimmy. It's Jimmy. He could have been like that to everybody. But he decided to welcome you in. And be, yeah, sure, come on in. Like,
yeah, no, that's
talk about
kind
that
of
a little bit.
The magic of him. I mean, he's the greatest ambassador to the community. And it doesn't matter if you have zero followers or clout, as they say. It doesn't matter. If you make stuff, come on in. Share your knowledge. We'll share knowledge. It might look intimidating, but they're the least intimidating people you'll ever meet. They're the most like beautiful souls of people that like just want to share information and knowledge and friendship, which is the coolest thing. It's like, I've met so many amazing, amazing people through this community that like, it's weird to be like, oh yeah, I met this, like it's, people say it's hard to like meet new people when you get older, and through this community, it's just like you keep meeting more and more cool people. And it's, I can't praise the community enough. And it's like, leave religion, politics at the door and your ego. What do you make? That's really what it comes down to, which is super cool.
It's really nice having a, having a community and that's
don't
so...
cry. Don't cry. It's okay.
it's just an emotional, emotional story.
It's just so beautiful.
It's really nice to have a community that supports those that are either just starting up or, you know, maybe these well-known builders who are chatting with like yourself when you started, right? And having that, hey, I'm going to share stuff. Cause I think so often sometimes people like Lance was saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's so like, I am particularly insanely lucky and fortunate through what happened, but I feel that because I've been able to kind of, be on Netflix and stuff like that. Like I want to help the next people kind of like, we kind of joke and it's like, what class did you come up in? And it's like the next class, I want to help the people that are coming up now because the people in front of me helped me get to where I mean, and it wasn't like, oh, can you, I need the numbers. It was legitimately making friends and it just happened that way. But it's like, I want to help the next people if they have any questions, or I always say, if you ever need any tools, if you're local, come to my shop and you can use my tools as much as you want if I'm there and just make stuff.
It's almost like from conversation, right? You're yeah. talking like I look at these people on Instagram and social media sometimes like, oh, these are big up people and, you know, huge following and amazing skill sets and what they do. And I'm like, it's got to be hard to get into that. But it sounds like, depending on the community, it sounds like this maker community is totally opposite of that. And they are, here's my knowledge, here's my tools, my connections. And that's just kind of natural. It's not necessarily, hey, I need your assistance on this. It's more of kind of that friendship. And then that evolves into a huge group.
Yeah. And I mean, I know a lot of other communities, like being a comedian, it's really like, you're trying to fight for this like scrap of food and everyone else is trying to grab the same scrap. And it's very, very like you're on your own. Everyone else is trying to push you down. And this is like, hi, I'm so-and-so. It's like, oh, come on in, have a beer, have this, have a tool. There you go. Let's talk. What do you want? Like, what do you want to make? And so it's the complete opposite of that, which is really refreshing in a time where everything is so divisive and everyone is kind of either team A or team B.
Yeah.
This is just kind of like, let's all just come together. Like Maker Camp is the coolest event of the year. And it's up near Jimmy's house. And it's like, I always like any family that comes and visits the shop, I'm always like, just come. It's a family event. Like it doesn't matter who you are. If you're interested in building or if you're fans of these people, they're all here and they're all willing to spend time and share knowledge and teach you how to either begin or sharpen your skills from where you are.
I want to ask you about
knife. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's just a very special community, and I'm very, very fortunate to be a part of it, even in any capacity.
I think that's at the core. It's human. It's humanity, right? It's what people aspire to be a part of. Everyone's looking to belong somewhere, especially within their passions. It's really cool what you guys are doing.
No, it's like I said, it's a special community, and it's a bunch of special people, and it's just the coolest group of people. Like I wish, like, it's amazing that the internet can bring you all together, but it's like, I wish we all lived closer so I could see people that I only talk to online, or I'll see them once every couple of years, like Andy Berkey. He's like another amazing ambassador, but like, I think he lives in Ohio, and it's like, it's just far enough away that it's like, I can't just drive to his house, but he's always online, always sharing information, always like the coolest dude. I got to meet him at Jimmy's a couple of years ago when Jimmy had the teepee event, and it was like, oh, wow, I got to meet you in person. We hung out, and it was just one of those things. It was just and because you already know the people from online, it's the awkwardness is just gone, and you just feel like you're just carrying the conversations you had online just in person.
Yeah. It's a good icebreaker. Hey,
it really is.
Now introducing maker communes, ladies and gentlemen, where you could, you're a maker.
I think Jimmy is trying to turn East Durham into like the maker commune.
There you go.
I think everyone, let's move here. He's got a go-kart track. What else do you need?
What more to love?
The thing I've noticed with the maker community after kind of following a whole bunch of different people is that they're not afraid to share, whether it's through Instagram, YouTube, share how they do stuff, and almost like an educational resource. Like you said, you grew up watching videos of different people making knives and things. And I feel like that's so valuable to people that are doing it right now and up and comers or people who haven't started, to be able to take something away from these kind of educational videos and learn how to do something over the internet in a sense.
Oh yeah. I joke that it's the greatest tech support that I know of. Cause like I kind of piecemealed together my first real big boy knife grinder, my 2x72 knife grinder. And I had like a VFD that I was hooking up, and I'm not an electrician and I didn't want to electrocute myself. So I like posted quickly like, hey, I'm having an issue here in one of the Facebook groups. And literally in 30 seconds, it was like, answer. So I was like, oh, thank you. I don't know what I would have done without you guys. So it's just that instant want to help type of deal, which is, again, it's hard to speak as highly as I want to just be like, it's the greatest. I want to run outside and be like, it's awesome. These people are awesome. So it's just a super cool community.
Side note, I have never had. I'm logged into Zoom on like an email that is registered to have long Zoom calls.
Oh my God, we only have 8 more minutes.
I know, what the heck? This has never happened to me before. Oh my God. I don't understand. Anyways, side note. So I might have to
Well, side note, you have a lot of audio to edit.
We might have to like stop it and then like come back in. I apologize. Okay,
no worries. Maybe I'll do a wardrobe change. I'll put like a tuxedo on.
Yeah. Put a bow in the beard or something. Okay.
Do you want to get out of this one and then start?
Do you want to start over?
Not even start over, but just get out of this one and get into a new meeting so you have.
Should we do that?
A long time and we can.
Okay.
See. Yeah, I'm here. So
okay, I'll send you a new email.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good grief. This is great.
I'll see you in part two of the Graz interview.
I just looked at my card. Oh, man. Yeah, we got half up. I apologize. Okay, we'll email you right away.
All right, well, you should start a Patreon so you can get the next tier of Zoom.
Let's put that down in the
tips. I'm using side, like, hold on. So I want to ask, how did you get into knife making?
That's a really good question. I don't remember what's like spark that kind of went off in my brain, but like, I don't know if it was just one of those, like in one of my timelines, I saw someone doing it and I was like, huh, that's really interesting. I wonder if that's something that I could do at home. And then the more I looked into it, the more it was totally doable at home. And it wasn't that expensive. And so I did a little bit more research. And then I think the first time I built a kind of backyard forge out of an old like barbecue or old hibachi. There was like a thing that you fill it up with sand and plaster Paris to like insulate the outsides.
Yeah.
And then you just fill it with coals, throw a vacuum hose in there, blow some air in there. And then you get yourself a coal forge.
That's so awesome, by the way.
And then you can just go to Home Depot, Harbor Freight, and buy one of those 1x30 little belt grinders. And then I think I used 01 steel the first knife. I mean, when I say knife, it was a terrible piece of steel that was hard, but I don't think it would cut anything. I don't think it would cut cheese, pun intended. And it just kind of, once you start making stuff, you kind of get the bug of like, I mean, it's like turning a pen. It's like you do one and you're like, oh, I'll do another one. But it's like with a knife, it's like every variation or every I'm completely blanking on the word, the heat's getting to me, every iteration of a knife, it's going to get better and better. And so you can literally see your progress from your first knife all the way to the current one you're working on. And so it's gonna be pretty satisfying too. It is. It's really cool because I have the first chef knife in my toolbox at my shop. And anytime someone comes by as like a visitor, I always show them like, this is a physical chapter one of my journey of knife making. And then I usually have like the knife I'm working on just out there so they can kind of see where it's gone. And then I always say I have a chapter of failures, which I like to call learning, in one of my drawers in my toolbox. And you can kind of see the journey of improvement and evolution of the build. And I also like something when it's like growing a plant. It's like I don't want to just grow a plant. I want to have the plant. I want to take something from the plant at the end. I want to have like a gross like profit
harvest.
Yeah. So it's like if I'm going to plant something, I want to use the thing when I'm done. Like I want to have a basil plant so I can use the basil plant. So with a knife, it's like the oldest, literal oldest tool that man has made. So it's one of those things. It's like, I mean, you can see behind me, I have a whole like magnet holder of my knives. And it's really cool just to grab it and be like, oh, I made this and now I'm chopping this tomato or onion. And it's just this knife that if you treat it well, it should be generational. So it's just like a cool thing that it's like, if someone buys a knife from me, it's like, I made this and it might be around for a while. So hopefully I can make this thing as nice as I can for you now that you can maybe pass it on to someone.
Good for you for keeping your first knives and stuff, right? I think everybody gets so worked up and maybe self-conscious about, my knife's not perfect and this isn't. But to be able to see that, I made a ton of mistakes.
I think it kind of keep, well, it doesn't keep your ego in check, but it just, you don't forget where you came from. And it's like, if anyone is ever interested in making a knife coming to my shop, I can kind of show you, like, this is where, like, don't expect perfection the first 100 knives you make. Expect this, but this is a learning. This is your chapter one of this, however long book you want to stick to it. It could be 100 chapters. It could be 10 chapters. It could be 100 chapters. But I guarantee you the 100th chapter, that knife is going to look pretty damn sexy if you stick to it, as opposed to the first chapter.
And knowing how those first ones turn out. And this is what I used to make. And now, after developing your skill sets and practicing, that visual piece, I think, is very important for people and probably for yourself, just to kind of have that humbling of, okay, well, I started here. Now I'm here right now. I can still take that time and get my knives to another level if I'd like.
Yeah. I mean, I am not a master by any means, but I feel that now my skills are there where it's like, I'm kind of proud to be like, check this out and look at this. It feels good in the hand. It's really, really sharp and all that stuff. And you can put a little art into it with the scales or handles and all that stuff. And I've been getting into like dyeing the handle, the woods and stuff with a vacuum chamber and certain resin. And it's just, you can kind of keep making it as custom as you want. And then I offer custom boxes too. So you can have them as a gift, or you can just kind of have that as like a little timestamp in history where it's like, I can date it for you. And then it's like, oh, now you know when kind of, it was like the born on date for your knife. And so I think it's just kind of, and I think it, like I said, I think it's like a human instinct to just pick a knife up and be like, oh, this is cool. Like, I don't know what it is about a knife, but you're like, chop stuff, cut meat or do whatever.
Turn into a caveman.
Yeah. Oh, I mean like caveman, cave woman. I mean, yeah,
fair enough.
Equal amount of like,
cave person,
mom's cave person. Moms come in and be like, oh, this is really cool. Do you sell these? And it's like, yeah. And then I kind of show them my knife making journey, and they're like, oh, that's so cool.
How was that process to kind of dabble into the stabilized dyed wood and resin handles? Has that been kind of a cool adventure? Because I love doing epoxy work, and that's the school, and I'm thinking of kind of going into that stabilizing for turning and stuff. And how was that process for
that's,
you?
It's super cool. I work with a company called Shed Life, and they were nice enough to send me some of their resin infusing, or I guess knife resin, because it's really, really thin resin. It has the viscosity of like water. So basically what you do is you just like dye, if you want like dyed wood, you find like light wood like maple, and then you just put it in a vacuum chamber, then you use the special pigment to dye the resin, and then you just put it in a vacuum and it sucks it through the grain, and then you cook it for 2 hours at 200 degrees, and that hardens and like hardens the resin into the wood. But sometimes it doesn't get sucked through all the grain. So then you can add another color and just repeat the process. Cool. And you can have this crazy, like psychedelic piece of wood that has all these colors in it. And it's super fun to once you kind of go, I think I'm done with this, then take it over to the bandsaw and rip it. And then look at it and be like, whoa, this is awesome. Cause you don't realize how crazy some like super figured grain is. And then it like, that's just a really fun surprise. And then when you wet them, it really like pops the color and you're like, oh, this is going to be sick with like white spacers and some white pins, or just to do like kind of like a color theory on it. And it adds a whole nother dimension to the knife, which is really cool.
That's awesome. I could play around with resin and burls and stuff. Like I feel like it's been a game changer. I think lots of people are doing that now. It's almost become the popular thing, but to kind of break it down and to see the ever changing, even just mixing different epoxy colors and doing a pour and coming back the next day, you're like, I had no idea it was going to look like that, but that looks freaking awesome.
Basically you're infusing the wood with resin. So it becomes almost like plasticized, so it's gonna hold up to the elements. If you get it wet, and stuff like that, but it also makes it look so cool if you get like a color, a couple colors that really work well together. Like I have one in the vacuum chamber right now. One of my clients wanted an all black handle. So I was like, oh, I'll just dye it all black. But you still see the figuring and kind of the crazy grain pattern in the blackness of the handle. So I'm excited to like pull it out and cook it just to see what I get.
So cool. It seems like everything's different, right? You can go try something and you, like you said, you get some of the grain color, you get some color. It's almost like turned into an artistic, like, I don't know. It's experiment. Like evolving. Yeah. Almost an experiment. You're a scientist.
Yeah. There's definitely a recipe for how much pigment to put into the resin and how to cook the resin, but there's no recipe because every piece of wood is different and every grain pattern is different. So it's a surprise every time when you cut it open and be like, whoa, that's crazy. I didn't see the grain pattern this way on the outside as compared to the inside, and how to like book match them and then like put them on the handles. And so they kind of match on each side. And like the handle is really like, to me, it's like the soul of the knife itself. And it's always my favorite part when you start shaping it. And like, then it becomes like this familiar shape and feel where you're like, oh, I'm so close to having like this really cool knife in my hand right now.
So growing up, were you like a maker growing up before maker being called a maker was cool? Like what was it like growing up? Were you tinkering Lego? What were you doing?
Yeah, I I've always had the how does it work kind of gene in me. Like I mean, it's kind of the story's oldest time. I used to take apart broken radios just to be like, what's in here? How does this work?
There's a common theme.
Podcast. And then hard to believe, I used to be a computer nerd.
What?
And I know.
You're a man of many talents.
Me too.
Yeah.
As soon as you mentioned Raspberry Pi, I was like,
exactly.
I know this guy.
Exactly. And then back then, like I think the statute of limitations is gone. But I used to make red boxes for payphones, so you could like get free phone calls on payphones back in the day.
Wow.
So that was always Hacksaw. Fun. And it was always how I always loved how things work and how you kind of get around
the my favorite movie was Hackers.
Oh, it's the best movie. Hack the Planet.
I knew it.
But like I've always had this kind of fascination with like you buy a product and then the manufacturer was like, you only use the product for this, and it's like, what if I want to use it for X, Y, and Z? And it's like, nope. I gotta figure out a way around here so I can kind of do what I want with it. And it's like, I always joke that I don't want to buy a video game console unless I can like hack the thing, put a mod chip in it, and then install old school Nintendo games on it. And it's always that kind of like, how does it work? How can I really how can I make this thing behave the way I want it to behave? And it's always been like that. And it's always just kind of every morning in school, I used to watch Mr. Wizard, and he kind of showed me how the world kind of works scientifically. And that's always been in my head. Like, I don't think a day goes by when I don't see something and refer back to a thing that Mr. Wizard taught me when I was a kid. I don't know. Did you guys have Mr. Wizard back in the day?
No.
Oh, you guys are probably much younger than me.
Well, I'm 36. I don't know.
35.
Okay. Oh, and oh, okay. And you don't know Mr. Wizard? He was basically like, Bill Nye before Bill Nye. Like he was kind of the first generation of like a TV scientist. And it's when you watch it now, you're like, this is the most boring show ever. But back in the 80s, that was the coolest science show that you could watch on TV.
Kind of got your curiosity going.
Exactly. Like, no, it something. Really did. And like, I've always had this curiosity for how things work and taking them apart. Like I can fix this. And now you gain more confidence in life when you kind of figure something out and then fix something. And then you basically just want to pull someone from the street and be like, look, I fixed this, didn't work. And now I fixed it and it's working now. And then I'm sure they'd be like, who are you? Why did you just pull me into your house?
Why didn't you buy a new one?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then that's
throw it away, that's nerd. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. It's like our throwaway culture. It's sickening. And it's like, I have a 3-year-old phone. It's like, I don't need a new phone. It calls and texts like every other phone. But it's one of those things, like, just try to fix it and see, see if you can. And then it literally will build self-confidence if you do fix it. And if you don't fix it, you'll learn something from it. So I always try to take that away too.
Now, when you were young, did you have anybody that inspired you to tinker or do this stuff? Or was it just kind of... Other than Mr. Wizard?
In my house, we had like a pretty cool like basement full of just kind of tools, but my dad wasn't like Duresta's dad, where it was like, here, this is the bandsaw, play with a bandsaw. Like, we didn't have like power tools.
At age four.
But we had, and then it was just like, that was kind of a place you could just kind of go and just kind of have this world by yourself. And it's like, oh, let me take this radio apart and see what this is. And then, I mean, Legos were huge back in the day. So me and my buddy used to do like let's build a contraption and whose contraption can survive like a 10-foot drop. And then that would be a challenge. And then we would just kind of go from there, like put an egg in it and be like, let's see if we can drop this without breaking it. And then try to figure out what would be the best way to do that. And so we were always kind of being imaginative doing that, or building like clubhouse or something outside. I was very fortunate growing up in the time I did before the internet, and then now kind of transitioning to the internet, using it as the greatest kind of university there is.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I mean, there's a lot of crappy universities out there too, I guess. But
oh yeah, I joke. I went to ScamU.
Yeah.
So I went to a pretty crappy school that I didn't learn anything from.
Fair
and
enough.
I'm still paying my student loan. Hey. But that's a story for another day.
Yeah, that's a different podcast.
Yeah, that's
find that one in the show notes.
I feel like with this generation that's growing up with internet and everything at the touch, that whole sense of like play and hands-on, like I remember building tunnels in the sandbox with my Ninja Turtles and different things. And it seems like that's kind of gone. And that whole like, okay, I've got a problem. I need to, whatever, build a tunnel under this sandbox or this pit so that Leonardo can go to Michelangelo.
Oh.
I feel like there's a lot that comes from that as a young kid and being able to tinker and find solutions to problems. And now you can pull out your phone and quickly Google, or whether you're finding information
instantly,
or not. Yeah.
And it's, I hate when it's like gatekeeping, where it's like my generation was the one that didn't grow up in the, it just happens to be like my generation is the transitional generation from analog to digital. And the time where we would spend outside, I mean, literally me and my buddy would like, we were so bored. We would just be like, hey, want to go cut that tree down? Be like, okay. They'd be like, want to just dig a 4-foot hole? Be like, okay. And then we would get screened by our parents. But it was like, that was really fun to do. And like, we got our hands dirty. We figured out the best way to cut down a tree. And it's like, well, what can we do with this tree now? All right, let's make bow and arrows, or let's make some sharp sticks with it and like throw them at each other. But luckily, I still have both of my eyes and all 8 of my fingers. So
perfect. Yeah.
But it definitely, growing up in that time, it definitely made me use my imagination more or differently than kids nowadays, because everything is so instant. Like you said, like, I mean, there's a comedian, Pete Holmes, that where it's like, back in the day, you'd be like, where's Tom Petty from? And then you'd think about it and you'd have to talk to people. And then he jokes and like, then you're at a bar and you see a pretty girl, and then you could start talking and be like, do you know where Tom Petty's from? Be like, oh, he's from Sarasota, Florida. And that's how I met my wife. Instead of today, you go, where's Tom Petty from? In your bed. And then you just go, where's Tom Petty from? Oh, Sarasota. And then you just roll back to sleep. And so it's like, it's a different way to process information, where it's like, do you guys know anyone's phone number anymore? It's like, it's kind of like, what's the important stuff that I index in my brain now?
Yeah, exactly.
I know my wife's phone number. That's the one that's in here.
What is it? Don't put you on my spot. Yeah. 1-555.
Thank you.
We're going to wrap this episode up here. Right.
So when you were, I have a question about the show and how the impact that you've seen from the show, because we have like a generation there's all these tech generations on the phones and the whole thing, Google, we're talking about. The answers are easy to find, and it's a throwaway culture, and you don't have to make stuff anymore in order to survive or whatever, even a passion. Have you seen an increase in young people taking this stuff on as a result of the show?
It has been like very like, all joking aside, it's been incredibly humbling and amazing. It's the coolest payoff of, I mean, being able to do the show was, I mean, I'm the luckiest guy on the planet, and it was the coolest experience. It was like the ultimate summer camp. But seeing these kids literally come to the shop and then like give me a picture of a thing that they invented out of their brain, like from the ether, they just kind of thought of this idea. And then just talking to them and just being like, yeah, just ask your mom, your dad, or whoever, like, start building stuff and start getting your hands dirty and figuring out how things work. And maybe you can build one of these. Like, you don't need me. I'm just a guy that's a little further ahead of, than you, like, to build stuff. And it's been really amazing, because a lot of kids are watching the show and seeing 5-6 kind of knuckleheads making these ridiculous builds, but we explain how to do it, and it really isn't out of reach to a lot of people. You do need tools and all that stuff, but I mean, with Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace, you can get tools for pennies on the dollar, and it's like, sometimes you can just get them for free. Like, come to my shop, and it's like, I don't need this tool anymore. Do you need this? Here, take it. Just take it. Just build stuff with it. So it's one of those things. It's incredible to see. Like I've said before, like when I was a kid, watching Mr. Wizard was like, that was my thing. And then when Beekman and Bill Nye came out, that
Beekman.
Was the next generation.
Beekman's
world.
Yes, love
yeah. Beekman. And then after that, it was kind of Monster Garage and the wave of the motorcycle builds on Discovery, which even as a an older teenager, I was like, oh, that's so cool. I want to know how to do that. And then, I mean, like I say, if we can take that baton with our show and just kind of bring it a little further, it's like that I'm getting chills to thinking about that, like as a kid and a teenager, to be like, I'm part of this thing that might inspire the next generation of creators and builders and whatever, even TV hosts. And it's like the coolest, most humbling thing.
Sweet.
And it looked like you had an absolute blast even watching it.
It was awful.
By myself and with my kids.
Magic of editing. It was terrible.
It was the worst.
Like that, the humor and the fun and being able to work with like legitimately your friends on these crazy ideas that children have created and bring them to life. Like that whole process must have been just phenomenal.
There were so many days where it literally like just kind of looking out and just kind of processing. There's a 30-person crew here, cameras, directors, producers, wardrobe, like everyone, plus all my friends are here. And it was like, this is crazy. Like it's so hard to process, where it was like, all of this was just from one picture that we randomly took. And it like, life just went burnt and just turned this crazy path. And it was like the ultimate experience that I'll like just take with me to the grave. Cause it really was like the ultimate summer camp. I mean, because of the pandemic, we had to basically, I live with Derek, Jackman and Pat lived together. We lived in this kind of condo complex, but right down the street, all the other crew was living in a hotel. So we had to kind of live in a bubble. Mm-hmm. So we became really close for almost 3 months. So once we would wrap, we'd be like, all right, anyone going to dinner tonight? Let's hang out at the bar on the weekends. And so it became this really, really close group of people that, I mean, I'm again, very, I was me and Jimmy and whoever, we were just kind of like crying messes at the wrap party, just being like, this is the coolest thing. Yeah. I'm going to miss all you guys. You got to come back if we do season two.
My fingers are crossed for season two. Yeah. My kids are
thank
like,
you.
We
yeah,
want
hopefully.
More. We want more.
100%. Tell them to write Netflix.
Yeah.
We want more. Yeah. I mean, we're ready. We're ready. If the opportunity presents itself, we're ready to go. And I mean, it's just kind of left up to the Netflix gods. Yeah. I know that they're kind of basking in the Stranger Things hype, but or the little show being like, hi, we'd love to do season two.
Don't forget about us.
Yeah. Like the big stuff.
Yeah. So what advice do you have for someone who wants to get into making, into whatever modality they want to use? What's some, like,
keep your hands away from moving blades.
There you go. No.
Or if not, you only have eight.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you'll have eight fingers. Yeah.
We have as many minutes on Zoom as I have fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, I interrupted. What was your full question?
No, that was it. Just someone who want whatever modality they want to use, like whether it's woodworking, welding, whatever it is. To get into it, what advice?
I mean, it's always kind of the old saying is getting started is the hardest thing. Just try it. Like, I mean, jokingly, you got nothing to lose but your fingers, but like, just try it. And if you fail, quote unquote fail, you're just going to learn to do the next version better. And just try it. Grab a piece of wood, cut it. I think Nick Offerman said, like, you take a piece of wood, cut it in half, glue it together. You have a cutting board, and now you have something that didn't exist before. And then just apply that to everything you do and use the internet for its like greatest ability as the ultimate teacher. And I mean, you can literally learn everything that you want to learn on YouTube. And it's like, I don't like that video. Oh, there's 75 more of them. And each person is going to have their own kind of journey and their own knowledge, how they got to this point, and they're going to pass it on to you. And just try it out. I mean, everyone has YouTube in their pocket, from kids to adults. And it's like, you're never too young and you're never too old to give it a shot.
Yeah. What about some technical skill sets for making, whether different modalities, like some actual technical that you would suggest people develop to get into this or while they're getting into it?
That's a good question, because I think it really depends on what you're looking for or what you want to kind of give to the world, I guess, because like, another saying is kind of like, everyone in the maker community has a superpower, and mine was, I'm a video producer. So producing videos is the easy part for me. It's coming up with the kind of off the wall idea and then putting it to paper and figuring out how to do it, maybe building it once to make sure it actually works, and then making a video for it. But I mean, any skill that you have, it can really kind of be brought into building something, from graphic design, from Photoshop to Illustrator skills. I mean, just problem solving in general. It's really like, I can't even, I'm overwhelmed of all the skills that like you can bring in to like build a table. And it's like, even if you're good at searching stuff on YouTube, you might search the best table or the best instructional video on how to build a table, and you're going to get there faster than someone who just went build a table on YouTube. And it's you can bring all your skills to the table, pun intended.
Yeah. Oh, it's intended.
And
so for those people that are wanting to get started, along with specific skill sets and advice, what are the top three starting out tools you think every maker should have?
That's another really good, it's for general making. I think the number one is the bandsaw, because it's probably the most versatile. Because if you get a nice like resaw blade, you can cut pretty straight on it, and then you can cut curves on it. I would say bandsaw, drill press, and impact driver, I would think, because with those, you pretty much can build a lot of stuff. I mean, you can build a table, you can build a desk, a chair. I mean, anything like with wood, those are the three things you kind of need, kind of the foundational tools. But I mean, if you want to get into knife making, that's like a whole nother thing, where it's like, you want to get a metal cutting bandsaw, a good like belt sander, and then build your own forge to kind of get it going.
Yeah. Holy, that's awesome. Like I could just, I've said this with every guest that we've had, but like I could chat with you about this for hours. But unfortunately, our Zoom is limited today.
As well as our hard drive on the recording.
And the hard drive, yeah. It's like flashing at me.
Yeah, I could talk to my refrigerator for hours.
Maybe we'll have you back on.
Yeah,
maybe we'll do a Graz part two.
Ooh, but I like it.
And I have some ideas which we'll talk off once we're done recording.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
I'll show up every time. So first of all, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for reaching out. I mean it's super cool to meet new people and just talk about kind of the whole community.
It's cool to see that you're actually doing what you're saying is important to you. Right? Just by coming on and agreeing to come on, you solidified or you put some truth behind your words about the Maker community and how welcoming and open to people it is.
Wanting to give back as well.
Yeah, of course.
So do I have Alberta street cred now?
Sure.
You bet.
Come on up.
We'll just what I wanted.
Just no coconut water here though.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Just Labatt Blue.
So guys, where can people find you and what do you want to promote? Is there something you want to promote? We'll end the show with that.
Yeah, I mean, you can find me at grozmakes.com, grozmakes at Instagram, Twitter, all the socials. And then, just to promote it, I mean, my Instagram, I post, when I build knives, I post knives not all the time. The heat has been so friggin' hot that I haven't even been to the shop this week because it's completely, like, it's almost unhealthy how hot it is there. But anyway, to promote Making Fun on Netflix, coming streaming on Netflix. So if anyone hasn't seen it, watch it, tell your friends. It's a pretty, I mean, you guys watched it. What they did in post-production is incredible. I thought we did a pretty good job as far as our group dynamic, but the post-production is something else. I've never seen it like that on a TV show. So I couldn't be prouder to the director and the editors and everyone involved. Like, they really leveled it up from what I thought was going to be a pretty decent TV show to, I feel like, a show I couldn't even imagine how good. I couldn't have done a better job myself.
That's cool.
It's an excellent show. They did very well. The final product turned out great, and my kids love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome, as well as a lot of other people. So thanks so much again for coming on. Thank you for having me. I'm going to say it right now. We're going to have you back on.
Sweet. I'm here. I'm not leaving my kitchen until you call me back.
Yeah, wow. Long time.
I hope you guys like spaghetti.
There we go. Yep. We're in. I have a gluten allergy, so probably I won't.